Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
To Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is grown. I'm Anne, as you know, and today I am very pleased to be chatting with Patrick, whose surname has just gone out of my mind.
That's okay. You can call my surname Artist as Family.
Okay, so Patrick, Artist as Family, who hails from Daylesford, and it's a household known locally and definitely internationally, I think, through David Holmgren's Retro Suburbia book where they were featured. And they're known for their committed permaculture practice, low impact living, and active involvement in changing the paradigm, not only of food culture, but of culture in general, which is what permaculture seeks to do. It, as we know, it goes beyond food and seeks to change our relationships with each other and also the built environment. I've followed Patrick and Meg's story for a long while, and it really is based on a thorough rethinking of daily habits and local economies. Meg and Patrick model a way of living that challenges many modern assumptions beyond food. So I'm really, really keen to speak to Patrick today. So welcome, Patrick.
Thanks, Anne. I'm calling in from Jarrah country. Yeah, just north of Melbourne.
Thank you. Lovely land up there, lovely place. Mm. We were talking just before the show started there, Patrick, about the importance of stories and the power they have to affect how we see the world and how we see what we're doing in the world and the importance of it. Would you talk to us a little bit about that before we get into permaculture?
Mm. Well, as this show is about food and culture, I feel like the big story that I'm looking at and working with at the moment is just the religious or spiritual cosmologies that have shifted, the three main ones since agriculture. And so we started with our goddess worship, so the womb as the center place of the divine, where life springs forth. What I would call mother country cosmology. When men found out the mysteries of life, that they actually had something to do with it, culture radically shifted. And we moved into a pantheistic time where women and the feminine divine lost some of its power and war gained a lot of power. And then we moved into monotheism, which led into scientism, the kind of the religion that we're sort of under that order now, or that the propaganda of that. So I feel in many ways our story as new peasants is a reculturing of a mother country cosmology. And that is that the mother has the full place, the mother being country, the mother being child bearer, regenerator of life, has the fall place in our home and growing community, and that re-villaging where masculine and feminine power have are redistributed, and the lopsidedness that we live in under monotheism slash scientism is addressed through men's and women's circles, but also gathering around food as a kind of food as the kind of central place of reconnection with the mother, and not food as regenerative farmers in the necessarily in the monetary economy, which is big part of that story of domination and control and separation, but actually food in reclaiming subsistence permacultural modes of life making.
I knew you were going to be really big picture. So now I'm going to take you right down to daily life and just give us a quick overview, and we'll get back to those big ideas after this because they're so important, of how your household puts some of those ideas into practice on a daily basis.
Great. Thank you for the question, because it is really the grounding of our cosmological ideas is really important. And, you know, I've got the earth under my fingernails. I've just come in. I'm sweaty from the morning of harvesting garlic, working with a volunteer who's come over, who has come to seek some inspiration, to have some of those bigger talks while also we labor together. So that's, there's this sort of, porous basket making, I guess, social basket making rather than container making, which is sort of a container, I think, of plastic Tupperware, whereas a basket is allows things in and out. And so this household is just one of many baskets in the area. There are many others that are baskets that take place on common Jarrah land, many different social interrelations. But I think relationships are central, whether it be with the soil that's providing our nourishment as mammals. So we grow all of our annuals and perennial vegetables in human manure compost. We have videos on this online to show the safe process of that. We do, I guess, a process of doing, saying. So rather than just theory, we actually embody what we're learning, and the embodiment comes first. The learnings, the trial and errors, the failed crops, the successful ones, like all of the beauty of the fallibility of human life in a subsistence permaculture, where I guess over the last 20 years we've reduced our reliance on the monetary economy to just 20% reliant. And so therefore all the different little processes of the daily processes, from connection with soils, connection with op shops, connection with the local refuge center for salvaging, connection with the local forest for foraging, connection to local farms who allow us to hunt bunnies and deer on those farms, connection with local government agencies, having our goats do and sheep do bushfire mitigation work, unpaid but informally, but having a social license to do that. Relationships with men's and women's circles, and then the children's forest and free, like forest group that we run every week as volunteers. I guess what we do from digging a patch of, you know, harvesting garlic in preparation for planting tomatoes, alongside speaking to a young woman who's helping us, who's part of the women's circle, but she's also volunteered in the forest school, is village rebuilding. Mm-hmm. So recognizing that there is no romantic, perfect time of human history. However, what we've lost is quite significant, and we've lost the village. And so I guess revillaging is the kind of key word for what we do, and food is central to that. so that when we get together for celebrations, for winter or solstice celebrations, where we get together for equinox celebrations, harvest or spring celebrations, and many other potluck meals, that there is always an honouring of the food and a speaking to the origins of where that food comes from and all the life-making that has come about so that food can nourish us on this particular evening.
I think what you're talking about there is praxis, isn't it? That's what I think that's in political movements, that the idea is praxis. It's you're changing the world as you're working with it and getting feedback from it, which is a permaculture idea. And then changing your practice based on the feedback. So that's very interesting from a political point of view. But going back a bit, the idea of talking to the person you're labouring with, that's an ancient thing, talking or singing while you're labouring. So take us back to that idea of the story. You talked about the person coming to help you for inspiration. How important is it that we share the stories with each other?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I feel in many ways we were activist permaculturalists when we were putting in place the built and biological parts of permaculture. And those two parts we foregrounded early in this sort of radical anger against the dominant culture, particularly around food, energy and medicine resources, industrial capital forms of those three capitalisms that really do so much harm in the world. But it's only in the last several years that we have seen the people care aspect or the behavioral change aspect as absolutely significant. And so that's given birth to, we've just celebrated our 7 years of men sitting together in circle and women sitting together in circle and listening and catching each other's stories and moving beyond the binary, the political, the ideological, and into a deep heart space of deep listening. And that has really transitioned us from, you know, sort of heroic activism into sort of deep re-villaging. Mm-hmm. And so part of that re-villaging is that there's a lot of knowledge that we have gathered in the last 20 years as we've been on this transitional journey into permaculture. And so there's quite a lot of people who want to work alongside us. So that it doesn't feel extractive, we ask people who want to learn something to come and labour with us side by side. And it might be about the labour that we're doing. It might be that, but it also might be troubleshooting. It might be talking about relationship stuff or, you know, some grief that is passing through them. It could be anything. It's not and not, never prescribed. And so we've got this, I guess, flow of gifts economy that's based on trust and love. And so barter is just used occasionally as this sort of klutzy economy, but from the path from money to flow of gifts. So there's a few things put in place. Come over for an hour and help us in the garden, and Meg will show you how to set up a blog for an hour or something like that. So that when we're first establishing trust and relationships, it's usually a bit formal like that. But once there's this obvious connection once the connection is obvious, I should say, and there's love there and there's trust there, and then it just merges into this flow of gifts economy where everyone just has each other's back, knowing that each household and each individual person goes through periods of abundance and scarcity. And so when we have abundance, we let it flow. When we're a bit more scarce and less in capacity, we retreat and sometimes even put a little notice outside the door. People in this house are sleeping or something. Creating a little bit of a recuperation time.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Patrick.
Hey Anne, where else would you hear about progressive economics?
Well, you can definitely hear about it on 3CR
Radio MMT
between 5:30 and 6:30 p.m.
the second and fourth Friday of each month.
Radio MMT.
Bisexual Alliance Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label or no label at all, their partners and allies. Bisexual Alliance runs discussion groups in person and online. The group offers a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. Bisexual Alliance is especially keen to hear from multigender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations of $2 or more to Bisexual Alliance are now tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at bi-alliance.org, email info@bi-alliance.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
A 3CR supporter.
This is the Local Food Connection Show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Today I'm chatting with Patrick, Artist as Family. That attention to the human spirit, human relationships and even political relationships is central to permaculture, and I've often thought could be its downfall in the long run if that's not done well. And it sounds like you've learned a lot about that. Why has that recently become more important to you? Not more important, but well, is it more important than the built environment and the natural world now? Why is it foregrounded?
They're definitely all those three things are integrated. However, I think getting our household in order, the setting up the grey water systems, the rocket stove fire, the compost systems, the wood energy system, the water swales and retention, water capturing technologies, all this sort of, which is mostly low tech and very affordable, saving up for more expensive items over a period of time, but just trying to do everything at a very low cost scale so that we can share that and show that it's replicable. So I guess getting our physical material systems in place was getting our house in order. And then as we've aged, seeing just how important relationships are. And just the people care aspect is so nourishing because it's not a one-way street. And we started, I think Meg and I celebrated our 10-year anniversary, and we booked into an ashram, which was holding a nonviolent communication workshop. And that was the beginning of like realizing, wow, the judgment that we hold as dominant subjects of this dominant culture. The violence in the language is so apparent. And so to be cracked aware of what, you know, of that judgment, and I'm not saying by any means that hasn't disappeared, but it's so much more, we're so much more aware of it. And therefore, it has diminished greatly. And that then led into the men's and women's circles, the deep listening, the listening without judgment, and then the community, the deep community trust that brews from that. So, you know, we were meeting at community gardens and at activist film nights, and definitely having a connection and kinship with a local community here, and feeling very embodied in that. But it's the deep listening aspect has become just deepened those kinship ties. And so that, so now that if conflict arises, we're quite good at it, quite good at not reacting, but actually responding, knowing how to respond in times of conflict and not escalating it, not being caught in the reactivity or the hurt or the, yeah, we're a wounding culture. We carry wounds and we wound others through our woundedness, and just greater awareness around that. And yeah.
We might be a wounded species. And you were talking earlier about the, you know, the ancient ways. And I think all cultures have had a spirit, a way of dealing with that. And it's usually some kind of spiritual practices. Makes sense. Now, what was I going to ask? Oh, yeah. So have you had much conversation with the local Indigenous people about these ways of being?
Yeah, we have. Dear friends, Beck Phillips is a Jarrah storyteller and emerging elder who lives north of here with her lovely man Mitch Boney, who's an Indige fella from further afield, and they've got a beautiful daughter and their family friends. And Beck has come over, and Mitch, to offer story and share language for the Bush School, or it's not really a school, the Forest and Free group we run for kids. And we've had our Uncle Rick come over into the commons that we're stewards for, with community members or neighbours are working with us on reducing newcomer species and the fire risk while elevating the ecology there. And he's brought young men who are going through Yorta Yorta and Jarrah, men going through Yorta, initiation process, and brought them over to share food on the fire and to do working bees over here. So, yeah, there is there. We feel like the work we're doing here has been blessed by Jarrah folk, but especially I think what's even more powerful, because the invitation that Indigenous friends have and elders have given me over life is to listen to country. Like, country holds the language, country holds the culture, country holds the wisdom. And that this is not, if this is exclusive only to some members of society, then those of us newcomers are just going to be perpetually destroying and walking in wrong story, or being so caught in the wound of colonization that we constantly regenerate colonial ways of being. Mm-hmm. And so the invitation from Indigenous friends and elders has been to go and listen. And so one of the things that Meg and I do, and now we're taking other folk out, we're guiding people out into country to sit and listen and do 3 and 4 night what we call listening to country fasts. And it's just a tarp, a blanket, and enough water for either 3 or 4 days and nights. And they've been some of the most powerful moments of my life, really, and really through big grief episodes of my life, they have been incredibly important.
So I think scientism, capitalism, colonialism, they're not really very good at helping us with things like grief, and grief is totally central to us, you know, as in the heart.
Just on that, Martin Prechtel, who is an American Indigenous author and story sharer, he's in his book Long Life, Honey in the Heart, he talks about grief being this he talks about depression and anxiety being grief without a home. And so that grief is actually a wild force, and we have to polite a society to be able to deal with the wildness of grief. And so we suppress it, and that basically ends up in depression and anxiety. So, you know, this is powerful Indigenous knowledge that has come into my life that has really, really given me agency, you know, particularly to be one of the coordinators of the men's circle and working with grief and men and their griefs. It's been really that goal is we're constantly in relationship with the wild edge of sorrow. Yeah.
Oh, grief is a wild force, and I think the history that we're describing when we're talking about colonialism, capitalism, etc., it's all an attempt to get away from the wild, isn't it? It's fear of the wild and trying to contain it and control it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patrick, we've only got 2 minutes. Would you talk to us about hope?
I've got a very unusual relationship with hope. I feel like hope is always placing our lives in some external force or some external authority. I feel like everything that we're born with is within us, and that's not to say as an individual. I'm not talking about that as an individual, but we are a collection of souls and a collection of consciousness. We are mind that creates matter. Which is the earth, the goddess cosmology, rather than matter, the brain that creates mind. So I feel like that flipping. So I feel like hope is actually an industrial colonial project. I really do. I feel like, yeah, I know that sounds pretty radical. And
That is interesting, though, yeah.
Yeah, so I it's not an investment in hope. It's an investment in love, in the divine spark that I think we're all born with. Yeah.
Wow, that's so. I wish I could talk to you for 4 hours. It's a real privilege to hear what you had to say. Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Anne. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, lovely to connect.
If you would like to find out more about Patrick's work with Meg and their radical quarter acre life in Dalesford, go to artistasfamily.is. There's lots to inspire you on that website. And there's also a link to Patrick's book, Re-Fermenting Culture, in which he explores insight through gut logic. And here's a little bit more of Patrick talking about that book in the context of some other ideas he's been exploring recently. This is just a little bit of the conversation that we had after the formal part of that pre-recorded interview was finished. I don't think Patrick will mind me playing you a little bit of this.
In terms of big picture stuff, I've been really enjoying Professor Chiang on YouTube. He's got a YouTube channel called Predictive History.
Okay.
And he is an atomist. What he is saying is really big picture and beautiful, and also probably to many quite confronting. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, just the way in which he frames that sort of loss from a goddess cosmology. Not that he was painting it as perfect, but so much more desirable for free will, but not at the expense of the village. And see, I think that's the thing.
Yep. Yep.
That, like, we have just free will in this rampant, gratuitous me, me, me thing. That was the birth of the individual that led to capitalism and scientism. And so I think that thing of the feminine, divine feminine, that it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't this system of colonialism that started once men took power from matrilineal societies. Mm. Yeah, I wrote this book called Re-Fermenting Culture, looking at how matrilineal societies was hijacked and how that story still works in our culture. And it looked at that sort of fall where the Greek cosmology or theology was rewritten to demote goddesses into sort of into like Pandora, who was demoted from a goddess to the bringer of evil to men.
Yeah, yeah. She was
the precursor of Eve.
So as you can see, lots to explore there. Artist as Family. Go to their website. I see Patrick and Meg will be guest tutors on the online permaculture design course that David Holmgren and Beck Lowe will be running in 2026. So lots of opportunities there if you want to explore some of the ideas that Patrick discussed in this conversation. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now. From a worm to a chicken, you're never alone on the loam, and it's time to get to work. We've been looking up, we've been messing around. Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.